I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feels like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feels like my life ain't mine. Come on. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I'm talking about they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to save me. No one's heroic. Yeah, my life don't even matter. I know it, I know it. I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home. Ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been? Where you at? What's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about. Come on. I've been on the low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die.
It's the very first breath when your head's been drowning underwater. It's the lightness in the air when you're there chest to chest with the lover. It's holding on though the road's long and seeing light in the darkest things. And when you stare at your reflection, finding open who it is, I know that you'll thank God you
I know where you've been, where you are, where you're going.
Yeah.
I know you're the reason I believe in life. What's the day without a little night? I'm just trying to set a little light. It can be hard, it can be so hard. But you gotta live right now. You got everything to give right now. Come on. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Come on. I finally wanna be alive. I finally wanna be alive.
Travel feels alone, but I'm moving till my legs give out, and I see my tears melt in the snow. But I don't wanna cry, I don't wanna cry anymore. I wanna feel alive, I don't even wanna die anymore. I don't even wanna die anymore.
Black is beautiful, hate is ugly. Women are as precious as they are stronger than any man I have ever met. And unto them I say, stand tall and crush all predators under the weight of your heart that is full of the love they will never take away from you. Be not scared to use your voice, especially in instances like these when you have the opportunity. Stand and fight for those who are not weak, but have yet to discover the strength that the evil of this world has done its best to conceal. To all the beautiful countries filled with culture, diversity, and thousands of years of history, you are not shitholes. And lastly, on the behalf of those who fight for equality in a world that is not equal, not just, and not ready for the change we are here to bring, I say unto you, bring us your tired, your poor, and any immigrant who seeks refuge. For together, we can build not just a better country, but a world that is destined to be united.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Recovery Radio here down at the Caboose Enlightened Radio down in Harpers Ferry. Good morning to all. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Recovery Radio today. The song that you just listened to, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar. It was performed and was written by Logic. And we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, teen suicide. I scheduled a person who is very familiar with this sort of suicidal behavior with teenagers and kids. And she's just a mom who is very determined to get laws and things in place that and teach us and educate us about teen suicide, drug addiction, and how it affects families and communities and in the schools. Those lyrics, I've been on the low. You know, when your kids seem a little depressed and their behavior changes and they start talking differently than what you're used to, those are kind of the red flags for teen suicide. And then there's some underlying issues that's involved with that. And his lyrics talks about how I've been feeling like I'm out of my mind, you know. And I'm sure those of us who are in active addiction and even to the point where you're in recovery, sometimes you've been on the low, you feel like you're out of your mind, especially when you can't satisfy those cravings inside you or nothing goes right in your life. The bills are due and they're piling up and there's all sorts of opposition and there are barriers to recovery. But it's not just an isolated situation for just teenagers. But that is what my guest is going to be talking about. As soon as she's slated to come on at 9:10, she's going to call me. And we're going to talk have some real serious conversation about teen suicide. And let's get back to the song we were just listening to. And let's kind of unwrap the lyrics in this high-powered song, this emotional song, and find out how we can relate to that or how we can kind of help to get rid of the stigma that's associated with teen suicide, drug addiction, spousal abuse, domestic abuse, childhood abuse, and all those things that come along with the behavior and the climate of a tainted and undernourished kind of environment, the soil in which we live and which we construct our lives around. It's the soil in a lot of cases is kind of tainted. It's definitely misleading. But we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Can you relate is what Logic was asking you. He was saying, who can relate? Is I feel like I'm out of my mind. I feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? I've been on the low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. I don't want to be alive is what he says in the next part of that, the next verse. It says, I don't want to be alive. I just want to die today. And if you're feeling that way today, I invite you to give us a call here on Recovery Radio. And we can talk about it. And his lyrics go on to say all this other stuff I'm talking about. But actually, he says all this other shit I'm talking about. And I hope I can say that. It's okay. This is my podcast, so I'm not going to get too raunchy on air. But I'm going to, call a thing a thing and keep the main thing the main thing. And so the young man says all of this other shit I'm talking about, they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to save me. No one's heroic, and my life don't even matter. When you go down that dark path, that's kind of how you feel, like your life don't matter. It doesn't matter to the people around you, the community. It seems it don't matter to nobody. Like you're invisible in a lot of instances. I can't say that I have experienced anyone in my life or that I love committing suicide. I have a really good friend that he, his son, a young man in his 20s, was living with the grandmother and he got so depressed, but he kept it hidden. And they came home one evening and found him. He had hung himself in the basement. And I know these conversations are really hard if you're a kind of victim of that teen suicide behavior. If you're a parent, a cousin, an uncle, or anybody who is a victim of that, then you understand, you can relate to what he was talking about. And he says that, I know it, I know it, I know it. I'm hurting deep down, but can't show it. You know, and he emphasized that he knows it. I know it, I know it. And so the object of the show today is to get other people to know it. To know it, to know it, to be able to recognize the signs and the symptoms of someone who is depressed, severely depressed, to the point where they would hang themselves or poison themselves or cut themselves, you know, or shoot themselves. And a lot of times it happens in the reverse. If you can look at all the people who commit suicide by cop, and, you know, and before they kill themselves, they usually kill a lot of other people, and we miss it, you know, because most of the times we're caught up in other things, you know, looking outside of our lives for something satisfying, and right under your nose in your own home, in your basement, is where we need to be looking. We need to be looking and paying more attention at our kids. And, you know, and the song, it doesn't have a, if you look at the lyrics and go over the lyrics, the song, it ends in a happy way. And so thank God for that. But these are just lyrics. And so we're going to be talking about real people today, because at the end of that, someone comes into the song. It's a young lady, and she kind of rescues him in the lyrics and said, she says, I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. Who can relate? I've been taking my time. And then she comes in with Alicia Cara. She says, I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. And this is what I say to anybody who is contemplating suicide. You know, we need to give us an opportunity to look at the underlying issues, you know, and just kind of listen and scale it back. If you have a teenager who, I guess when my caller, she's kind of the expert on this, and it kind of woke me up when I met her and she shared her story with me. It kind of opened me up to the possibilities of something like that happening in my own family, and so Alicia Cara goes on to say, it's the very first breath when your head's been drowning underwater. And it's the lightness in the air when you're there, chest to chest with the lover. It's holding on through the roads long, holding on to your loved ones. And then you can be able to see the light. You can be in that example. And when kids are going through things, kids will come up against a lot of opposition in school. You know, this bullying thing has taken off. It has taken on a life of its own. And sometimes children are not believed, just like the women who come forward and say that they were sexually abused for years and years and years. They were not believed. You know, people just wrote them off. And then this suicide thing comes into a person's life when they start to feel ostracized and forgotten about and feel like they don't matter. And so you need someone to come in and rescue you. And so we're going to be going over a law that was enacted by this young mother whose daughter committed suicide. And I don't want to give away too much before she comes on air. And it's Lauren's law. And what is Lauren's law? And Lauren's law is a new law that requires school counselors in Maryland to receive regular training so that they can recognize the signs of mental distress in adolescents. The goal is to create another gateway for preventing suicide among teens. And it was enacted in Anne Arundel County, Baltimore County, Howard County, and elsewhere across Maryland. Who was Lauren? I'm going to leave that to her mom, Linda, so that she can talk about her beautiful daughter. And I talked to her last week because, you know, when I asked her for this interview, and after she said, yes, I'll do the interview, and I thought about it. And so I wasn't really sure that I wanted to take this mom through this experience again, but she assured me that it is her job, it is her desire, it is her mission to get her daughter's story out there, no matter how many times she has to talk about it and just open up those old wounds and share them with the world. And so it's kind of really, really was, I did my due diligence in speaking with her about exploring this conversation. But she's a trooper, and she's been on this journey for a while. And sometimes when you do things and it seems that the wheels of justice are turning really, really slow, you can get discouraged. The pain is always there. The grief, you know, the grief stricken. You don't get an opportunity to involve yourself in it. In something like you're expecting someone to die, and so you start to anticipatory grief process goes on. When someone commits suicide, it seems like it's all of a sudden, but the signs and symptoms have always there. They're right there in front of you. It's just that we need to be taught. We need to be educated. And so I'm kind of excited about Linda coming on air this morning. So Logic, he says, in the last part of the song, he says, "I finally want to be alive." Well, what happened? That's why Linda is coming on air. That's why she came up with Lauren's Law, I believe. This is just my humble opinion. I mean, listening to these lyrics, and the songwriter wrote, "I finally want to be alive." And the songwriter, Alicia Cara, is talking to the young man, Logic, about his intentions and about how he feels, what kind of state of mind he's in. And she gets a chance to reach out to him, which is what we're going to try and encourage you to do if you have someone who might be feeling low and down, and especially if they have a history, suicidal ideations. We need not write that kind of behavior off. He says, "I finally want to be alive. I finally want to be alive. I don't want to die today. I don't want to die today." And you know, how do we tie that into heroin addiction today? You know, it's like sometimes when you're sick and depressed and you're dope sick, as they call it, that's how you feel. You just want to die. You want to curl up somewhere and die. And you want to shoot that dope, and you're thinking that, well, hopefully this is the last time I'll have to go through this. Just let me shoot the dope, OD, and die. You know, and so, but when someone reaches out, when someone presents you with a healing forest, like that's to get you in a place where you can get stable, and you can say the words. You can say the words to yourself: "I finally want to be alive. I finally want to be alive. I finally want to be alive." That's how I felt when I finally got it in my head that I'm gonna stop using drugs. And I can relate, because today I finally want to be alive. I finally want to be alive. I found something to be alive about. My body's not aching. I'm not depressed. You know, it gives me an opportunity for the cobwebs to clear, for the dust to settle, for the smoke to leave. And I can see my loved ones, see who's in my home that might be depressed, see who's in my community who's walking up and down, and they might be depressed and suicidal. And I want to be able to reach out and say something to them that would change their mind, because I can relate. And I can relate to that feeling. I can relate to the depression that takes place, especially when you're in active addiction. You know, it takes place, especially when you have those demons coming upon you at night, reminding you of some of the horrific things that you've done, some of the behaviors, and you start to feel guilty about it. You start to feel really bad about your position in life. And so I want to be, we here on Recovery Radio want to be able to gather the conversation that we can present to you to help you to be able to say, "I finally want to be alive. I finally want to be alive. I don't want to die today. I don't want to die. Finally want to be alive." And then Brother Khalid comes in at the on the remaining verse, and this is so powerful. He says that pain don't hurt the same, I know. The lane I travel feels alone, but I'm moving till my legs give out and I see my tears melt in the snow. But I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry anymore. I want to feel alive. I don't even want to die anymore. Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't even want to die anymore. You know, and part of the healing forest, it ties into that last verse. Because I often preach, after rehab, then what? And well, here's another take. After school, then what? After you finish school during the day, especially if you've been bullied all day, especially when you've been picked on all day by other kids and you go home to be by yourself. After school, then what? What do you do? Because you have to go through the same thing again the next day. So the healing forest provides you an opportunity to take a look at the pain that you're carrying around, especially if you're in a household or if you are someone who's in active addiction. That healing forest provides you with some daylight, some sunshine, so you can be able to shout from the mountaintops these words: I finally want to be alive. Do you want to be alive today? You know, and so I invite you to just call. There's so many resources for those in active addiction, for those who are depressed and going through something. There are plenty of resources in Berkeley County to get you stable, to get you to where you can really find a reason not to be depressed. There are resources. They get you there and they do what they need to do on their end. But after rehab, then what? And that is the healing forest that Recovery Radio preaches about so much. You know, I talk about that like a healing forest. And what is a healing forest? The analogy that I use for the healing forest is if you take a sick and dying tree and you look at it and you see that it's dwindling and it's just all the limbs are weakened and drooping, sort of like your eyes, I guess, when you're depressed or when you're sick or when you, you know, things are not working out. And so you take that tree and you remove it from that soil and you take it and you put it in some better soil and you nurse it back to life. After a week, a month, 2 or 3 months, maybe even a year, you see that tree start to grow and flourish. You know, the leaves are greener, the limbs are stronger and taller, and they're reaching toward the sun. And you watch that tree come back to life. Even the skin on the tree starts to glow, much like somebody who goes into rehab and does everything that they're supposed to do. Because it's a structured environment. It's a good soil. But then you take that tree after it gets healthy. It doesn't no longer looks sick. And you put it back in the same soil that you removed it from in the first place. The soil is tainted. The soil is undernourished. The soil has no moisturizer in it. It has no food for nourishment. There is no sunshine in that soil. The soil is just bad. And then that tree, after you put it back in that same soil, the tree withers again. It begins to die. Well, here on Recovery Radio, we have decided to take a look at the soil that is around us. And the soil that I get an opportunity to look at most often is the soil of Berkeley, Jefferson County, and other parts of West Virginia. The soil is very tainted in a lot of areas. After rehab, then what? So we have to change the soil. We have to create a new soil, put it down so that that tree will live. And so it is with those who are coming out of recovery. You have to have somewhere after rehab, something, somebody. You have to have a place where you can go and kind of just go over your life and be able to say these words. I don't want to die today. I don't want to use today. I don't want to be sick today. I don't want to be depressed today. And as Khalid says, the pain is still there, but it's not the same. And you know the lane that you travel, and sometimes it feels alone. Sometimes in school, you might feel alone because you're being bullied and because you're being sexually abused at home. Anything that would cause you to want to take your own life, it feels alone. But I encourage you today to, as Khalid says, to keep moving. You keep moving. Don't stop. Keep moving till your legs give out. That's determination. I know for me, my legs get tired and I say, enough of this. I'm going to get me some dope, you know, and thinking that that'll take it all away. Or a depressed young kid says, enough of this. I'm going home and I'm going to hang myself. And that's often what they do. But Khalid says, but I'm moving till my legs give out and I see my tears melt in the snow. But I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry anymore. I want to feel alive. If you want to feel alive, then go ahead. You got my permission to do that. Just feel alive. And so Lauren's Law. So I'm hoping that Lauren will call me in the next few minutes. She's a very prompt lady. I told her 9:10, so I believe she's going to call in at 9:10. But that's okay, because I'm giving you an earful of what she went through. And I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's okay, because she'll reiterate. She'll say the same things, because I followed her. She was a guest of mine on WRNR, the Red Hot Couch. Miss Yvette and myself, we interviewed Lauren, and I mean, I was just so impressed and so moved, and people listened that morning and they got an earful. And so a lot of people called in on that day. We didn't get to talk to many people, but the computer showed that a lot of people was interested in that conversation. And so she, the governor of Maryland, she petitioned the governor. She got a lot of people behind her, and they passed the law. And they call, and the law is enacted now in a lot of states, and it's Lauren's Law. And it requires schools to really get involved, because most of these suicides. And I'm going to say most. I'm not going to say all, because I don't know all, but I believe that most can be prevented. And so that's kind of what Lauren wanted to do. She wants to train the trainer, the people that you expect to watch over your children when you send them off to school. You know, the guidance counselors and all those people in those particular positions in school who have those jobs. They're very passionate about the jobs. It's just that the country, the policymakers, the people who handles the budgetary matters in school, they were not up to speed on that. You know, it's just like in drug addiction. Big part of the country is not up to speed on how we can get on top of this drug addiction, this pestilence that's in our communities. And what can we do about it? Well, it's a matter of economics in a lot of cases, but that's another show. But Lauren was a young girl. She is a young girl. I don't know how her mother refers to her, but if it was my loved one, it's very hard for me to say was, because, you know, the person is still in your spirit. And she's going to be talking about what we can learn from Lauren's Law. I mean, there's a lot to learn, and most of it is right in your own backyard. You just have to have the passion to be able to take a look at it. And not only take a look at it, but to do something about it. And mental distress in teens is a really growing problem today. It's a growing problem, and usually when there is a problem, if it does not directly affect a person, then a person feel like it's over there, so it's not my problem. And so, I mean, it's very difficult to predict whether suicide could affect your family or not. So you err on the part of caution by getting involved, by listening, by reading, by researching, and not only by doing that, but by putting boots on the ground, getting in people's faces of people who can do something about it, people who are able to educate people and provide opportunities and workshops and after school programs that really matter, and to be able to recognize who's being bullied and who the bullies are, you know. And sometimes it's not just the kids who are bullies. We got some adults around who are really just were brought up bullying people, and they've gotten away with it for so long, so they feel like it's a way of life. You know, they'll say, "Oh, that's just me. That's just the way I act." You know, well, you got to change your acting. You got to change the way you look at things. And so there has to be a role for your a support team in your house or in your community to be able to recognize teen suicide. I'm going to read a little excerpt from Lawrence Law. It says, the role of your child support team. When it comes to teenage suicide prevention, the burden doesn't fall on parents alone. Lawrence Law has created an even wider safety net for adolescents across Maryland, as their school counselors are now required. They are required to learn common signs of mental distress. When it comes to teenage suicide prevention, that is a subject that should be discussed. Everyone has teenagers in their home, or they know someone who has teenagers in their home. You have a community. Spring break is coming up, and you have an opportunity to engage kids, you know, go down to the Boys and Girls Club and kind of take a look around and talk to some of these kids about what it is that they're going through. And so Lawrence's Law is set up. There's a whole curriculum around that to teach the teachers, to teach the guidance counselors some of the signs. And it says that don't forget that every adult your child interacts with, including sports coaches, youth leaders, physicians, and others, they play a role in his or her mental health. Physicians' referrals to the family center are always welcome, whether for anxiety, depression, grief and loss, or other mental health concerns. How the family center is helping to prevent teen suicide in Maryland. There is so much more to this, and Miss Linda Diaz, I know she didn't do it alone, and she's very humble. There's a lot that went into this, but she got it done. And actually, I met her on the day that the governor signed it into law, and she drove to West Virginia and blessed us with her presence at WRNR and sat down and gave a very candid and enlightened interview about teen suicide. And so she has come up with a whole list of places where you can go and get educated. It says Lawrence Law, Maryland's latest measure for teenage suicide, knowing when to seek mental health services for your child in Maryland. You know, one of the stigmas in families is that people will deny. Oh, my child is fine. Oh, those are just growing pains. They'll get over it. Yo, suck it up. You know, men are supposed to be men. You know, men don't wear pink. Don't, you know. I mean, we tell our kids all of this nonsense, and we shove this stuff down their throats. No wonder the young man said that who can relate? You know, surely not your parents, especially when they're telling you things that don't make sense. And it talks about the alarming teen suicide statistics that were released by the CDC. Teen stress management, the pressures to achieve. Oh, my goodness. Now, that is a biggie. In schools, I know the pressure to achieve what? When you get to a place where you got the, because kids pay a lot of attention to the best shoes, the best coat, the best of everything. You know, if you got more likes on your social media posts than someone else, or you have the best home environment, you got the best looking car. I mean, these are things that we feed into our children, and they pick up on this stuff and run with it. You know, I heard a mom, after her behavior was just abhorring, and her son was in court, and she was telling the lawyer, I don't know what's wrong with that boy. But when you look at her past and her present, you can see what's wrong with the boy. It's the parent, it's the household, it's the tainted soil. That's what's wrong with the child. You know, it's the Ritalin that you're giving the child. It's all the medication that they stick them on and put them over in the corner and say, okay, they're incorrigible. I had an experience in my own family where, you know, my grandson was behaving, and they put him in a transitional school is what they're calling it. And when I went to visit the school just to see who was, you know, was looking after my grandson, what kind of program, the program struck me as very regimental. It was like the Marine Corps down there. And then they got county sheriffs who do all the intake. The young men, they frisk them. Young men and women, they frisk them in and out of the program. And they sit in front of a computer all day and do their schoolwork. No talking, no communicating with each other. And this is 3 hours, so it's called transitional school. I really don't understand what that means. If someone could kind of look it up and give me a call. If you want to drop me an email, let me give you my email address. It's BOYDBW@MSN.com. And you can find all my contact information when you look at the blog or when you listen to the show, because there are links and where you can reach me and send me your questions and your comments. And if you have a topic that you'd like to come on air and share with the community, you can just call me and we'll set up a time and have you call in and we have a discussion. There's so much to talk about. And as you can tell, I'm sure that I have no problem using my vocal cords because I can talk nonstop and I just need to know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. And actually, a lot of the things that I like to discuss, especially on here on Recovery Radio, I've experienced a lot of it. But there's so much that you know that I've never experienced. So I would invite the opportunity to listen to you and maybe give some feedback or even get some feedback. And I'm very, very, I'm very interested in this whole topic of teen suicide, because I do have teenagers, grandchildren who are in my life, and I want to be on top of the latest of everything. I want to know what's going on in school. You know, who are you interacting with? What is it that your teachers are talking about? What kinds of discussions are going on? Who are the parents of your classmates? I mean, you know, PTA meetings, all of this stuff is very important. Sometimes in the school system, I believe that we parents drop our kids off and like we're dropping them off at the babysitter. You know, school is a place where, you know, we got babysitters. But the teachers need our help, you know, and they need better pay. I'll tell you exactly what needs to happen. The teachers need better pay because they're underpaid, underfunded. We lose a lot of good teachers, especially here in West Virginia, because of budgetary things. I mean, the budget seems to be more important than human life or human endeavors or, you know, or even good education. The teachers are doing things that I don't know. were I a teacher, I would probably seek another profession. And that's a loss. That's a drain on the economy. And it's not the teacher's fault. And the community board of education and these other institutions, they can't bear all the blame, because some of us parents, we will not participate. And there are reasons. I don't know what your reasons are for not participating. I know one very good reason to participate, and that is your child or your children. But I know that people are having a hard time these days with making ends meet. And so mom or dad have to work two jobs in order to make ends meet, put food on the table for that very same kid that they're sending off to school each day. And, you know, they're just not able. Or, I mean, I'm not going to say able, because I don't know, even if that word fits into the scheme of things. You know, there does not seem to be the right amount of opportunities for people to go to PTA meetings, or people to protest about what their child's teacher is getting paid. I mean, and it seems that for me, the child, it should be a personal relationship between you, your child, and your child's community of educators. That is something that I take very personally today. And so, you know, and I'm not saying that I've done this always, because I have not, but I'm learning now that it's never too late, especially when your child is still alive. And so teen suicide, and it talks about the top 10 tips for talking to teens. It gives you a whole list of tools that you can use. And it says talking to teens can sometimes be frustrating. Oh, God, don't I know that? You know, my grandson, we were having a conversation, and he was explaining to me something that went on in his school, and he kept saying, "Yeah, Pop, this, that, and a third." And he said, "And my teacher and the guy did this and this, that, and a third." And I said, "Terrell, what is the third that you're talking about?" So it's a language barrier in a lot of cases. And I mean, we find it funny, but it's not, because they talk around us and over our heads. Why is that? You know, and then you find that your child is smoking something that I heard on television. I guess it must be something, it's almost like vaping, but it's another name for this cigarette that they're smoking. And they're smoking it in school because they have this apparatus that they can fill with some kind of liquid and smoke it, and it has no smell or everything, but it's, you know, I think the CDC has deemed it very dangerous for our kids. But we are working so many jobs and trying to make ends meet that we have no time to really pay attention. Or, you know, our kids, when we talk to them, it's so frustrating that we don't talk to them, and they don't talk to us, because, like the young man said in the song, you know, who cares? My life doesn't matter to anybody. You know, so why should I talk to you? And most of the times, if you can get your kids, especially the teenagers, to trust you, you know, so you can, you know. But I find that if you want to be trusted, you have to be trustworthy. So teenagers, you have to be trustworthy. And so do the parents. Everybody has to be trustworthy. So top 10 tips. And there are some guidelines to parents. The youth of today have the world at their fingertips, literally. Yeah, that's true. I was talking to a young man last night. The world at their fingertips. He's 12 years old, and he and his classmate learned how to fuel electric airplane with fruit and potatoes. They made fuel out of this stuff. So I was really impressed with talking to him. And so the youth of today have the world at their fingertips. Just a few taps on a computer, keyboard, or smartphone, and they have access to almost anything. Guns. Just a few taps. Drugs. Pornography. You know, how to be a star. You know, these are the things that they... And my kids, we get in the car, everybody has a cell phone, except the driver, who is usually me. And they're either, you got headphones in, inside the car. What happened to the days of everybody listening to the car radio? Has that gone missing? It doesn't happen anymore. And so, you know, so these are some of the adjustments. We have to have a paradigm shift in how we interact with our kids. And, you know, I'm not advocating how to tell you how to raise your children or anything, but there are some things that need to be gotten out of the equation, or at least brought to a minimum, so that there can be a connection. There's such a social disconnect. And that's one of the reasons I would imagine that the children are committing suicide today. And so, you know, and you have all sorts of things. Help. My daughter is cutting. My daughter is cutting 10 facts about teen self-injurious behavior. If you have a teen who's doing that, cutting themselves, I mean, I just can't imagine. But it's true. You know, it's true. There's so many stories that indicate that. There's photographs, you know, there's police documents, there's hospital records, you know, there's school counselors. You need to get to know these people so that, you know, you can get out in front of this teen suicide. So Lauren's Law, I'm very excited about the. So I guess our guest might not be calling in today, but that's okay. We'll get her another time. Her name is Lauren. Her name is Linda Santiago. You can look up Lauren's Law and read about her, and she'll accept your phone calls, and especially once you learn who this lady is and how you can help, then I'm sure that you'd be satisfied. It says Lauren's Law will require school counselors to undergo regular training. You know, I mean, and that's big, what she was able to do, because her daughter committed suicide. She was found in the basement, I believe. I don't want to misspeak. But she found her daughter committed suicide after going through a lot of bullying and stuff. I'm going to read a little bit from the Washington Post, where they did an interview with the mother of Lauren Santiago, her name is Linda. It says, when Lauren Santiago's grades started to slip 2 years ago, her mother, Linda Diaz, suspected something was wrong. Diaz called her daughter's high school and asked the counselor to meet with Lauren, but the meeting never happened. Shame on you, counselor. A month later, Diaz found her 15-year-old daughter hanging from the banister of their home. Lauren, a freshman at Laurel High School in Prince George's County, had taken her own life. Diaz told her story to state lawmakers in Annapolis last month as part of a crusade to increase awareness of teen suicide. Her advocacy helped push the General Assembly to approve a bill dubbed Lauren's Law. That's LauryN's Law, LAW, which would require that school counselors undergo regular training to recognize signs that students are dealing with mental illness, are in distress, or are contemplating suicide. There is an epidemic, Diaz said, of teen suicide, the second leading cause of death among people ages 15 to 24. Ages 15 to 24. Now, what grade is that? I would imagine, what is that, about the 10th grade, all the way up until after graduation and beyond? 15 to 24. This is an issue almost like a bomb waiting to explode. It kind of reminds me of the epidemic of veterans committing suicide, a bomb waiting to explode. Those are the same feelings. Those are the same emotions that go unrecognized in our school system today. And so, and it says that if the bill is signed into law, which it is now, because this is an old post, Maryland would become the 23rd state to require suicide prevention training for school employees, according to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Regular education and training for school personnel is how to recognize and respond. And let me repeat that. How to recognize and respond. Recognize and respond. That old tainted soil. That old tainted soil. We have to recognize that we have a tainted, soiled community. And then we have to respond to that. So once you recognize that a teenager is depressed and going through things, there's, in the beginning of this piece, it says that her grades started to drop. A reason to pause. Her grades started to drop. Why? Why? And, you know, using hindsight, thinking about my own granddaughter at one point, her grades started to drop some years ago. And even though now she's doing pretty well, but I remember her grades started to drop. And I had no idea. The first thing, I got angry because I felt like she wasn't really applying herself. But there was something going on in the home, and which I've never really gotten a handle on the whole situation yet, because thank God my granddaughter's okay now. But her grades dropped. And so, you know, if there was regular education, and this was in the New Jersey school system. And so that's the kind of training that my family and I have, you know, become a part of, because now we want to be aware of these things because we have other grandchildren, and so, and they are getting children, and so on and on and on. So this is something that should happen, must happen. We need to be able to recognize this behavior and respond. We need to be able to recognize that a person has a drug addiction problem. Recognizing it and respond. Respond in a way that's impactful. Respond in a way that's helpful. Respond in a way that shows that you really, really care. You don't respond and then put them back in that same tainted soil. Because when you do that, you are part, and you're partly the cause of whatever demise, whatever the outcome is in that situation. You have to be held accountable at some point. So Larry Hogan, who's the governor of Maryland, he signed it into law. There were 4,000, and I'm going to do some statistics here. Teen suicide. There were 4,878 suicides by people ages 15 to 24 in the United States in 2013. Well, I'm sure that number has risen because it's now 2018. And that was up from 3,988 a decade earlier. So it dropped. I mean, it escalated. Well over 1,000 deaths between 2013 and a decade earlier. So that was according to the Center for Disease Control in the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. That was a nationwide survey of students in grades 9 through 12. So I wasn't that far off. I said 8th grade, but that's 9 to 12. Through 12, found that 16% of students seriously considered suicide in 2013. That's a question that I would pose to my family. Are you considering? Matter of fact, on an intake form, when you go into a drug rehab, one of the things that they ask you, or if you go to sit down in front of a peer recovery support person, one of the things that they'll ask you, if are you feeling suicidal today? And in some cases, you know, people start to feel homicidal. And that's another thing that we have to really pay attention to. On here on Recovery Radio. And you can go and look up Lauren's Law and read about Linda Diaz and her story and kind of get involved. She does a lot of fundraising. She's a 501c3 nonprofit in Maryland. And she goes around and she educates. Very soft-spoken, well-spoken lady. And I just can't imagine her just telling that story over and over and over and over again. And I'm hoping that that is part of a healing process. But it seems people would say, well, time heals all wounds. And I believe that the only thing that time does to a wound that's not properly treated is help it get infected. It festers. You know, the wound might close up, but the inside is not healed, and anything can open it back up. So that's a very delicate situation. So don't buy into the time thing. I mean, time does a lot of things, but it don't heal no wound. It just helps it fester. What you need to heal a wound is to treat it properly. That is why we need that healing forest concept. That is why we need things like the Recovery Cafe. That is why we need the Recovery Radio, so that we can recognize and respond. Recognize and respond. You know, I invite you to just send me an email and give me a call at 304-839-7924, and let's recognize and respond to some things. And so I'm going to end the show on that note, and I'd like to end the show by playing the opening song once again. And I want you to take note and listen to it, and I'll see you again on next week. Just look at the podcast, look at the notes.
Recovery.enlightenradio.org.
Thank you, John. I had a freeze going on there. I appreciate that. And just, just join in the conversation. Thanks.
Trending topics. It's time to.
Talk for a minute more.
Step up yes, style for New York Fashion Week.
Here's so I'm sorry Linda didn't call in, but I'm gonna send her this link, and I'm sure she's gonna get back. There's a really good explanation going on with that. So we had a little snafu last week. She was supposed to come on last week, but everybody had the flu, so we had to cancel. And I think there was sort of a miscommunication about today's show. But I really enjoyed the conversation about, actually I even taught myself some things this morning by just reading more about this teen suicide and Linda Diaz, whose daughter Lauren took her own life. We were talking about that. So, and you can read, if you go to Lauren's Law, there's a lot of information about this organization and how they're spreading the word and getting people educated about how to recognize when their kids are, you know, just having difficulties, or when they're being bullied in school.
Suicide survivors.
Sorry.
That's all right. And how they're being bullied in school and pushed around on the playgrounds, and how they're, you know, people are taking money. And then these kids are coming to school with guns, and because of what some other child did to them, and it went unrecognized, or, you know, people didn't respond to it in the right way. Same thing with the drug addiction. You know, we recognize what's going on. We're just not responding in a way that is really, really impactful. We want to be impactful. Mediocre is not enough. You have to impact. And people say, well, we have to start somewhere. And that is true. And usually where we start is where we end up, right where we start. Because we've been doing it for 100 years now. And how's it working out for us? Not so well, I'd say, because we're still having these same conversations. And so here we go. Just enjoy. Thank you, John. It's all right. That's allowed. It's our podcast.
I've been on the low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feels like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Come on. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today.
this other. I'm talking about they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to save me. No one's heroic. Yeah, my life don't even matter. I know it, I know it. I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home. Ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been? Where you at? What's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about. Come on. I've been on the low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Come on. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die.
It's the very first breath when your head's been drowning underwater. And it's the lightness in the air when you're there chest to chest with the lover. It's holding on though the road's long and seeing light in the darkest things. And when you stare at your reflection, finally knowing who it is, I know that you'll thank God you
I know where
did.
You've been, where you are, where you're going.
Yeah.
I know you're the reason I believe in life. What's the day without a little night? I'm just trying to set a little light. It can be hard. It can be so hard. But you gotta live right now. You got everything to give right now. Come on. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine.
Come on.
I finally wanna be alive. I finally wanna be alive.
The same, I know. But the lane I travel feels alone. But I'm moving till my legs give out. And I see my tears melt in the snow. But I don't wanna cry. I don't wanna cry anymore. I wanna feel alive. I don't even wanna die anymore. I don't even wanna die anymore.
Black is beautiful, hate is ugly. Women are as precious as they are stronger than any man I have ever met. And unto them I say, stand tall and crush all predators under the weight of your heart that is full of the love they will never take away from you. Be not scared to use your voice, especially in instances like these when you have the opportunity. Stand and fight for those who are not weak, but have yet to discover the strength that the evil of this world has done its best to conceal. To all the beautiful countries filled with culture, diversity, and thousands of years of history, you are not shitholes. And lastly, on the behalf of those who fight for equality in a world that is not equal, not just, and not ready for the change we are here to bring, I say unto you, bring us your tired, your poor, and any immigrant who seeks refuge. For together, we can build not just a better country, but a world that is destined to be united.